The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Yo, welcome to the Make the Cut podcast. I'm your host, Jacques Leung, joined by
Zion Damji,
Linus Kang,
and Mark Rende.
And you just made the cut.
And welcome back to the Make the Cut podcast. We're finally back with season four. Wow, we're already in season four. That's kind of crazy. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Linus Kang, Mark Rende, and Zion Damji.
And what's your name?
And my name is Jacques. I am your host. And yeah, how have y'all been? How's your summer been?
How's life been? Not the best. Just work, come back home, sleep. That's it.
Yeah, same.
I mean, that's still all you do.
Yeah, that's still all I do. Except like, just
that's all
school,
you did
but,
last
yeah.
year too. No,
no, last year I was in Korea, but this year a little underwhelming. But it's still it was okay.
What kind of basketball have you been watching over the summer?
I mean the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean,
damn, bro. I'm just trying to say. I've been watching the Olympics.
I'm kidding.
But like Canada's been disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah.
40
yeah.
something free throws for France was kind
of crazy. I watched all of that super up close at CBC, working at CBC. That Canada France quarterfinal game in men's basketball was on like every single screen in that entire building of the CBC headquarters.
Yeah, it was a big
and
game.
And it was like gigantic. And I remember all of us coworkers talking about it and stuff. That game was like so heartbreaking, obviously, not only because Canada lost when everyone thought they could have made the final, but then if you're looking at like how at least in our building there, how big it was just for a quarterfinal game, imagine how big it would have been for like the final.
Yeah.
Against USA. Imagine like how the entire nation would have been talking about that. So for Canada to leave the Olympics without a single basketball medal, not in men's, not in women's, not in 3-on-3.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
That's not how it was supposed to go.
Maybe if Jamal Murray didn't put up stinker after stinker, we would have.
Should have just had Wiggins and Edie, bro.
If the opponents were the Lakers, we would have made it all the way, man.
Yo, okay. Oh my God. I mean, that's true. He does be putting up life games against the Lakers. That's true.
NBA's been off, so there's not much to watch. I mean, there's some basketball to watch right now, though. The WNBA Finals is currently still on the time of recording.
They're
still hooping.
Minnesota Lynx and New York Liberty. Liberty in their 2 years. They were in the finals last year, too, obviously.
Yeah.
Where they lost to the Aces. But then they got their revenge against the Aces in the conference finals.
The reigning MVP.
Or no, actually, no. WNBA is not conference finals. It's just semis. In the semis this year, they got their revenge against the Aces. But that series is tied 1-1 at the time of recording.
The Lynx had a crazy comeback, right? Game one?
Yeah, game one. Nafisa Collier had like 42, I think. Depoy.
And Courtney Williams' four-point play
That was crazy.
That's like Tyrese Maxey.
She missed the first shot, then they got the board, they got the second chance, threw it back to her. She let that thing fly. Went in, four-point play.
Clean switch, too. Yeah.
So, for the WNBA season this year, this one was like a season of a lot of, I think, breaking ground when it comes to a lot more attention on the league, specifically for a couple of rookies who we touched on in season three a lot, definitely in episodes about March Madness and draft episodes and all that. Obviously, we talked about Caitlin Clark, first and foremost, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Aaliyah Edwards, Mika Mewell.
Camila Cardoso.
Camila Cardoso. Yes, yes. So looking back on, so we talked about them last season, obviously. Now looking back after this WNBA regular season is over and all those girls have been eliminated. what do we think of WNBA rookie class 2024?
I mean, I think as much as you'd hate to hear this, Mark, but I think the unanimous rookie of the year did stand out above, well above the rest. Well above the rest.
Yeah.
19-8. I mean, no disrespect, WNBA games are less scoring than the regular NBA games.
I mean, even like they play less minutes too.
Yeah.
10 minute quarters.
So even a 19-8 as a rookie in the NBA would be really amazing. But in a WNBA level, I think if you translate that to NBA numbers, I think it'll be way more impressive. Way more impressive. Yeah.
And her assist. Okay. For anyone who can't tell, we're talking about Caitlin Clark. And her assist numbers like even as a rookie, they set rookie records, but then even within the context of all of WNBA history, her assist numbers still set records.
Yeah.
Once Paige Beckers gets to the WNBA, though, Paige is going to mop the floor with her.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy's UConn ride or die.
And not to mention that the Indiana Fever, which were pretty stinky, in my opinion, they made the playoffs. Season. They made the playoffs, surprisingly, I would say, probably with the help of Caitlin Clark, helped a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that's, like, one of the biggest factors, too, that compared to other rookies like Angel Reese, who was on the sky, just didn't do anything. But like they made the playoffs with under Caitlin Clark, instant impact.
So about the sky, what do you guys think of Angel Reese's rookie season?
I mean, she set the record for the most consecutive, I think, double-doubles.
Double-doubles.
Mm-hmm.
But her field goal percentage as a big is very concerning.
That would come with time, though.
Like sub 40?
Yeah, it wasn't. She was not efficient at all. But she was grabbing boards, though.
Yeah.
She was doing her job.
I mean, she got, like, so much criticism this season for people saying that she can't make layup. Like, one criticism of her was debunked, though. People saying that, like, if she didn't miss so many layups, then she wouldn't average so many rebounds. But then people found out, they did the math and stuff, and they found out that even if her field goal percentage was way better, she would still be leading the league in rebounds. So she has that in her defense.
And argument makes no sense, too. Like, oh, you grab your own rebounds. Like, anybody can grab those rebounds, but like it's just her skill to get the rebounds.
But still, sub 40% from the field for a big is like terrible.
But it'll get better.
Yeah. Even if you're a rookie, though, like
I still think
that's like atrocious.
But we'll see. Some players do develop their touches under the rim.
She definitely will.
We've seen her shooting more jump shots in practice. Not.
In practice.
We'll see how it, we really talk about practice videos.
Awesome Ben Simmons timing.
We've seen Ben Simmons shoot threes before in practice. But yeah.
Anyone else?
Cameron Brink before she went down.
She was protecting the paint.
Yeah.
She was actually locking it down.
An incredible shot blocker.
She wasn't like going absolutely insane. Like you could tell she was still getting her footing there.
Mm-hmm.
But she had shown like plenty of
flashes.
Plenty of promise. And then I remember when she tore her ACL, I was like,
I fell to my knees in Walmart.
Damn.
It was sad, man.
I don't know. One more rookie as a UConn, seasonal UConn fan, Nika Mule, who was drafted from UConn to the Seattle, who had a pretty star-studded team, but Nika Mule like never got minutes over there. Like she didn't score her first bucket of the season until like late in the regular season. Because they would never play her. And I'm just watching these Seattle games. I remember when they came to Edmonton for the exhibition against the LA Sparks. And I'm like, yo, can you put Nika Mule in the game? And she just didn't play a single minute. And it was like that for the whole season. So that was kind of sad. Anyways, that's how the WNBA rookie class went. It's only up from here.
Well, the WNBA has been... or they're still in action, technically, from our standpoint. The NBA has been preparing themselves to, get better in the offseason. A lot of free agency, big moves.
Ooh.
Like, who are some of the losers?
Like who?
Losers? Lakers.
Lakers, for sure. Let's hear your favorite team,
no,
Lakers.
Their best acquisition was getting J.J. Redick. And, like, he's not even a crazy coach. Like, we don't know what he can do. The Lakers could have hired somebody with more potential.
Their best is getting rid of Darvin Ham.
I guess so.
Best is hiring a coach with no coaching experience. That is their best.
You think that's better? Like, I think they should have gone somebody with some experience.
No, like, what he's saying is just recapping what you said. Yeah, like, obviously, I think it would have been better to get
some coaching
experience.
Monty Williams was
Lionel
on the board.
Hollins.
I don't think Monty Williams would have been better. I think, if anything, they get, like, I don't know, like, if they could have gotten, like, Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
Or they could have gotten...
I think Stackhouse is happy in college, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting paid a ton at a state university.
If they got Dan Hurley, but they weren't going to get him.
They offered him, like, 10 mil, didn't
they?
And
he still rejected.
Yeah, that was sad. I wish they got him.
I mean, wasn't Jordy Fernandez still on the... He was still... He
maybe.
Wasn't the Nets coach yet. I don't think.
Lakers, but, their acquisition that I can think of is literally Bronny just
Bronny. And that's Dalton Connect's been a better acquisition.
Dalton Connect is nice. He's tough.
But, and a good pick at where they had to draft.
Yeah.
Bronny's whatever. He's a second round pick, so even if he doesn't pan out, it doesn't matter.
I think it's like a Thanasis thing. Like if you're gonna, even if you draft like a regular second round guy, you're not gonna play him. He's probably gonna get traded like within the days. Might as well keep your star player happy.
100%,
like same with Thanasis. Like the 15th man is never gonna get minutes. Might as well get somebody that can add somewhat of a value off the court. Right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Another loser, the Bulls. Like always, you know,
the
Kenny
Bulls
is,
they just didn't do anything, and then
they got Josh Giddey.
Yeah,
Caruso,
like, Josh Giddey, bro. Are we serious? Are we serious right now? But yeah, they didn't do anything, and then they let DeMar walk for basically nothing.
Yeah, DeMar walked.
Zach Caruso is just rotting on the team.
Yeah,
his values.
I mean, Zach did have a good showing in preseason.
He did.
He had one good game.
But this Bulls team is like this organization.
And
is
Lonzo's
so
coming back.
Yeah.
Lonzo's coming back.
What
so.
Did Bleacher Report call them? Generationally incompetent. It's a crazy
but
description.
Yeah, they just didn't do anything, so they automatically lost from not doing anything.
I mean, like, if they could utilize this Lonzo comeback just a little bit more. I feel like if they could use that a little bit more, they could have probably had people stay or like attract people back in.
Because
with Lonzo's absence, that was like the biggest thing. Because Lonzo and Caruso pretty much carried their defense when they were first seed for like that little bit of a run in 2022.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I feel like they just needed to like pull a Raptors, which was like just either hollow out or go or try and go in more, but they didn't do either. So
yeah, enough of the like about the depressing teams. Who are some of the winners that we can think of? I think only like one really stands out as a winner, and it's OKC.
For sure.
Where Caruso went.
OKC, and
Shea's gonna win his first championship this year.
Hardenstein was. I'm not sure about that, but Hardenstein.
Hey man.
I don't know if he'll win a ring, but I think he should win MVP.
Yeah,
he's
especially using the Olympics elimination as motivation.
I think. As long as they end up as good or better than last year, I think Shea's a lock for
sure.
Well, I think they're going to be better.
I think they're going
to
be better.
They have to
There's
be better.
There's no way
right?
they fall
On
off.
Paper, they
better.
Are
There's
a
no
perfect
way.
Team.
Yeah. They added Caruso. They added Hardenstein to their already deep team. And then their two best players other than Shea are both, under the age of 25? They're all both really young. Chet and Jalen and J-Dub. They're going to improve.
I feel like their biggest weakness was that they were just too young. And
as
you add more experience,
that was
the
their
team.
Biggest weakness in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I feel
exactly.
Like, I feel like for the regular season, it doesn't matter. So I think they're gonna be a really good team in the regular season. They're gonna get a really good record. Shea's gonna win MVP, and then they're gonna win the NBA championship.
They drafted Nikola Topic too.
Oh yeah.
But he's not gonna play.
Yeah, he's injured.
No,
but he's injured. Even if he wasn't injured, like they have so many guards on that team.
Have,
like, what's he gonna do there?
Yeah,
so that's a bad fit for him.
They're just bringing
as a guy.
Him in as a project.
Yeah, just
he's
a potential
just a project,
pick. He fell because of his injury, but he would have been like top five, top seven.
I think he probably, probably would have ended up top five if he wasn't injured.
What about the Sixers?
The Sixers drafted another interesting rookie, didn't they?
Let's go!
Amazing to college.
I was 2 days into college, and I'm three lectures behind.
But yeah, Jared McCain, but obviously the big name that
we talked
was,
about him last season.
Yeah. But the big name is obviously Paul George.
Mm-hmm. They got Paul George.
I don't
sign
think
and trade,
winning.
Right? Sign and
I
trade.
I don't think they're gonna win anything with
those.
Are
you sure? Are you sure?
I think listen, like no disrespect to these players, but I think Paul George and Joel Embiid are one of those cursed players. I don't think they're gonna win. I just don't think they're gonna win.
I mean, didn't Paul George break the Clippers curse of not making it to the West Finals? Paul George did break the Clippers curse.
I think with Paul George, it's like he needs a number one to
way off P.
He can't be that.
But do you think Joel Embiid is the appropriate number one?
No.
Because sometimes
I feel like he has Paul George
is.
To lean on though.
Yeah. But then there's the injury concern. Yeah. I don't know. Peace like if he can stay healthy, I think the Sixers can go deep. I really do. Because I really do. I think Embiid. I think we're like kind of downplaying Embiid a little too much.
Yeah.
Without injuries, he's one of the best players in the world.
I still am stuck. Like, call me like a hater, but I'm still stuck at where he was in 2021 against the Hawks.
Oh, that was
and
bad.
I think 2022
that was, really
was it against Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
You're always stuck on 2021.
All right, of course. But
he's just a better and smarter player now. And then
he is. Yeah.
And then. Like, now that he has some more help, the load on him is probably not as heavy. if he's in the playoffs and he's well rested, he's not injured, I think he'll have a good showing. Yeah, especially because he has more help now, so the floor is spaced out a little more for him since he has Paul George and Tyrese Maxey.
I don't know.
I feel like we haven't seen like a 100% healthy Embiid.
The thing is, we say this about this. I know. Every year, we say it, and we say, "Oh no, this year's gonna be different."
All it takes, is one really healthy season.
Exactly.
All it takes. We saw Kawhi have one really healthy season. Guess what? He won a championship and a Finals MVP.
He does not have the killer mentality like Kawhi does.
We don't know that because we've never seen Embiid 100% healthy.
Like, he was pretty much healthy in Game 7 against Boston. What did he do?
Embiid's always had like he lets his tiny injuries just get to his head.
Yeah, like, and he just doesn't play Giannis aggressive. Bent his knee the other way back. Sorry to go back to 2021 again. He dropped like back-to-back 40-point games.
That is true.
But
that's the killer mentality that we're looking for. I don't think Embiid really carries that. He's a great player regardless. I want him to actually use his body and the tools that he has, but he never does. That's what frustrates me all the time.
He's unstoppable, really.
Yeah, if he uses it properly.
Again,
yeah.
There's always those like little asterisks beside his name.
What about New York Knicks and the Timberwolves? Yeah.
Speaking of centers that's not showing up in the playoffs, Cat was traded. Big shocker for everybody.
Crazy.
I think the Knicks would have been better off if they re-signed Hardenstein and still made the Mikal Bridges trade.
For sure.
That would have been a better roster than what they have now.
Yeah, but I think they just panicked. Like, they needed a big now.
And I think they think that Cat is their missing piece, their missing star, right? But I do have some questions about how that roster will pan out because I don't know if Cat can protect the interior like that.
No.
That is true, but...
They still have Mitchell Robinson off the bench, right?
That's Mitchell injuries with Mitchell Robinson, the thing is, is your death lineup going to include Mitchell Robinson and Cat?
That's what I was.
Is that what your death lineup is gonna be? Because
you have like OG, you have switchable defenders.
Yeah.
And then like let's say you run OG, Mikal, Jalen Brunson, Cat, Mitchell Robinson. Cat's played the four with Rudy. When Mitchell Robinson's out, he still can play the five. Like he used to be a five originally. So I think they're betting on Cat's ability to improve as a defender and how he's shown, like especially this playoff run, how he's improved as a defender, being able to switch and take on people on the perimeter. I think that's what they're betting on.
I think I'm just salty that they traded Dante. Like, my guy, Dante.
I feel like they lost depth with losing Dante.
Dante was a crazy...
A lot of vibes, I think. I think it might be a little awkward, too.
Honestly, I don't think the vibes were as good as people thought. Because one of the biggest reasons Dante got traded was because he didn't believe in the...
He wasn't a huge fan of the Nova Knicks thing.
Yeah.
So... There's that.
I mean, they may have lost a bit of depth, but they already had plenty of it to begin with. So
That's true. Have Miles McBride. They got
He looks good.
Thibodeau was not going to use all of it anyways. Yeah. He only uses like five players.
Thibodeau's
just going to use him until...
We
know how the story goes.
I don't know about the Knicks, but the Wolves...
This is how the story goes.
From the screen to the ring to the pen to the king.
The Knicks are kind of like iffy, but I think the Wolves did win. I'm gonna keep.
I think they won.
They give like Rudy Gobert more space now. They give him more space now to just operate as like this sole big, and then
Randall as a second option and should be pretty good.
Randall puts rim pressure. He has the midi game locked down, and then the question is
if he's not settling for threes, if he's just not chucking.
The only question
is, will he play defense?
And his defense.
Which of the players that got traded would actually show up in the playoffs? Exactly. That's the only thing that matters to both.
I mean, I think Dante will show up.
Dante's definitely.
But Dante's not the second option here.
If Dante's coming off their bench, they got Dante off the bench. They got Nikhil off the bench.
Is Naz Reid coming off the bench?
Naz Reid is coming off the bench. They're deep. They're a deep roster.
Dillingham.
He's been killing it.
He looks like the...
He looks good. And guess what? That was the Raptors
pick,
by the way.
I cry every day.
I'm just going to cry myself to sleep tonight. I think the Wolves got better. They got deeper.
Yeah. Other trades that we could just skim over is Sacramento adding DeMar.
That was a free agency signing.
I mean, that's cool to give De'Aaron Fox a properly good second option, but their perimeter defense is going to be like doo-doo now.
Their defense is
Fox, DeRozan at the three. Who's their starting two?
Malik Monk.
They're keeping Monk on the bench.
Kevin Herter. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like other than the, like Chris Paul's on the Spurs.
Chris Paul on the Spurs. I feel like the Spurs, hot take, but I think the Spurs are going to make the playoffs.
I don't even think that's a hot take at this point anymore.
The West is so tight, though. I don't. The Grizzlies are going to be back, too.
You take Wemby, All-NBA leap, you add Chris Paul, who even at his age right now is still going to be a crazy playmaker. You got depth with Harrison Barnes. Yeah, you still got Devin Vassell there. You got Keldon Johnson there.
Wemby is gonna have to carry them like crazy.
Yeah, but I think it's Paul, reasonable think to expect that.
Play in.
I think play in.
That's
I think
a hot
play
take
in,
though. It is a hot take. You
play,
said it.
Yeah, playoffs was my hot take. Was my really hot take, but I think play in is more reasonable.
Spooky. We're coming up to Halloween, and I thought, you know, we have a little bit of scary stuff going on in the NBA. We always talk about who's the scariest player.
Okay.
There's different types of specific players, specific moments that people are scared of.
Nightmare matchups.
I want you guys to blind rank. I'm going to give you guys five moments, five players. You guys blind rank them based off their scariness.
So how scary they are to go against in a matchup?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The first player I'm going to give you guys is Jersey biting Kobe.
That's like Kobe going for 70.
This could be going
Mamba
to
mentality
two,
Kobe.
Two?
Like,
I think two.
Two?
Put
two?
Him at two.
Okay.
What?
If there's like a, be scarier if than there that. Was like that sunglasses, earbuds, LeBron, when he's down 3-1, I'm putting him over
okay,
Kobe.
Yeah.
I think two.
Okay, two. Yeah.
Okay. The next player I'm going to give you guys is Bubble TJ Warren.
Oh, hold on. Oh, hold on.
Wait.
Bubble TJ Warren was kind of good.
Bubble TJ.
Oh,
okay.
Remember his beef with Jimmy Butler?
Pacers
versus Heat.
People actually thought the Pacers would beat the Heat.
Yeah.
I was one of them.
Okay, I think four.
Four?
Yeah, I don't think it is that. Like, he
did we go five?
He was actually really good. He was playing at a really good level, even for a star.
Yeah.
He was, like, a superstar.
He was really good.
He was, like, he was second for
bubble
MVP, right?
Yeah, I think he should have won it.
Okay, the next person, Jordan Poole with the baddie courtside.
Oh! Hold on.
This is 2022 Poole.
That's aura.
Three.
Bro, it
has to be three. I think it's better than Bubble TJ
Warren.
It's
better than
it's
Bubble TJ
It's
J.
better.
It,
like, he won the championship.
Especially when that music
this.
Comes on.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys have what? You guys have 2, 3, and 5, right?
Yeah.
So 1 and 4.
No, 2, 3, 4.
2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put that at 3.
So, the next person is Ben Simmons in the offseason. Offseason training video.
That's 5.
Bro, Ben Simmons in the offseason looks
like
he still looks mid, bro.
5. Just put him at 5.
All he's doing is making jumpers in an open gym, bro.
Yeah, with
are we
Chris,
scared of that?
With Chris Brickley.
Yeah, are we okay, scared of that? Okay, yeah.
Okay. 5.
At 5? So you have 1 left.
Yeah, we have
so
1.
This guy got to be like the most scariest person.
It's going to be like Zion, Damjet, or something, man.
Mouth guard Steph.
That could
like
be
mouth guard out when Steph is just.
So when he's chewing on the mouth
guard. Yeah, and it's like sticking out.
I think we had a pretty good ranking.
I think like
he's at 1. I mean, I don't know. He could have been at 2.
Yeah, I think.
But
he,
1 is not bad for him.
Like 1 is debatable.
It's those two at 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think everything else is good.
Mouth
you guys are good.
Steph.
Yeah, like we got so number 1 we got mouth guard Steph, pretty good pick. Number 2 we got Jersey biting Kobe, pretty good pick.
Pretty good pick. Yeah.
Number 3 we got Baddies,
Jordan
Poole. Especially with the song. If he had the song.
If he has a song on,
number 1.
I would play that.
But like, he's 3. Number 4, who did we have?
Bubble TJ Warren.
And number 5,
Ben Simmons.
I think that's a great rating, to be honest.
I think that's damn near perfect.
That's really good.
That's damn near perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue Steph with a mouth guard is above
even
Kobe.
Even last time when we did it with the Olympics last season, I think we had a pretty good
play.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty good
at
this game.
What's our prize?
Your prize is going to be...
Nothing.
Yay!
Our prize is finishing our episode today.
And with that, Season 4, me, Linus, Jacques, Diane, we got some cool things in store for you. More of the same episodes you love with some more special guests coming on the show. Make sure you're following us on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Obviously, maybe you're listening to us on there right now. We're on Spirit Live Radio, of course, as well. Make sure you're following at MakeTheCutGram on Instagram for lots of updates, news, content, video, and graphic still, photo, I don't know what to call it, whatever.
About
our podcast. Keep up with us. Thank you for joining Make the Cut Season 4, Episode 1. Any last words, gentlemen?
Enjoy your lunch, please, everybody.